Pastor Dawn's going to be sharing some things that the Lord put on her heart here recently. She shared some of these things here recently when the ladies got together, and but it's good for everybody. So we're gonna get right into that. So let's open up though with a word of prayer.
Thank
Heavenly
you.
Father, as we come to you tonight to study your word once again, we thank you for the light and the illumination that we receive as we receive with meekness your engrafted word.
Praise God.
Know, Lord, that it's able to save our soul and to change our life. And tonight, Father God, we open our hearts once again and ask that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding, that we might be able to comprehend the spiritual realities that are in your precious word and go to a greater depth in you, in our fellowship with you and what you want us to do in these last days. And for that, Lord, we're eternally grateful and thankful. And we thank you once again for every need met in advance in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. I know that Lonnie was with me there during the Bible study, and there was a few other ladies, and but as the Lord just laid it on the heart to go ahead and share this evening, it's always a little bit different, right? It's because we're led by the Holy Ghost and what He wants to convey and share. And I started to do a study here a few weeks ago on salt, and I wanted to see what the Bible had to say about it, because I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with Matthew 5:13-14, which we'll look at here just in a moment, actually through 16. And we're supposed to be the salt and the light of this world. The Bible says that's what Jesus commissioned for us to be. And praise God, we are. He didn't say try to be it or try to act like it. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And it's powerful, because when I started digging and doing some research and doing some studying on this, I realized that, wow, there's a lot of qualities about salt in the natural that I had no idea. And maybe, you know, you all are familiar with the compounds and the qualities of salt. I personally didn't know about all these. I mean, I knew about some of them. And then when you see the Old Testament, what the Bible has to say about it, and then the New Testament, then what Jesus says that we are, and then and how he preserves us, it's so beautiful. And it just ties in beautifully. So Pastor Monty, he's got some different scriptures that he's going to put up here as we're sharing. And of course, he's going to interject as he feels led to or wants to. And but as we get started here, I'm going to read some about the different natural qualities that there are about salt. And so I'll skip over some perhaps, but I feel it's really important, because when the Bible talks about it, and it says there in Matthew 5:13 through, and I'll, like I said, through 16, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. And Jesus is talking. Who's he talking to? He's talking to believers. But if the salt have lost his savor, that means the flavor, the saltiness of the salt, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. And then he goes on to say, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So in other words, we're supposed to shine bright for Jesus. Amen. We're supposed to shine bright. And then he goes on to say, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So when a person, you know, before we had electricity, what people would do, they would take their kerosene lamps, or they would take their candlesticks or their torches or whatever they had, they would always bring it to the center of the room to give off as much light as possible. And we know, even with a simple match, how much it can bring light into a dark place, right? And then it says, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So let your light shine, so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, not try to be, but you are. And then we're supposed to be the light. You are the light of the world. And if we really see ourselves the way God sees us. That's one of the ways we pray, right? Is to pray that we see ourselves through the Lord's eyes. We want to see ourselves that way, because when you see yourself in that position, then you own it. Okay? For better words there, you own it. You take responsibility of what you are and who you are. So as I was saying here, for those that have joined us, I'm going to talk about the benefits of Psalm and talk about the qualities of it. Then we're going to look at the New Testament, or Old Testament briefly, and the New Testament as well. And then we'll see where the Lord has us to go from there. But you think about salt. So it preserves. It brings out the best of marinating. You see a lot of recipes that call for salt. And one thing that we've noticed is if you don't put salt on meat, when you're, even if you're grilling it, is one of the best ways to serve a piece of meat, right? Whether it's a steak, or if it's a T-bone, or if it's a burger, whatever it is. But if you don't have salt, it's kind of like blah. You can have the best quality meat, but you need salt. And then it brings out the best if you're using a recipe. And I'm sure for those that have baked, made anything, roasted anything, cooked anything, you leave out salt. The first thing you do is you grab the salt shaker and you start putting the salt on it. Isn't that right? So then for health reasons, think about this. It cleanses the wounds, and the same concentration that's in like a saline solution is the same amount and percentage of salt that's in our bloodstream. It's like 0.9%, I believe. It's either 0.09 or 0.9%. So think about that. So our bloodstream is carrying a level of sodium that helps to cleanse the cuts, abrasions, or wounds that we may receive, okay? It stabilizes and balances. It's critical for metabolic rate of our bodies. Prevents iodine deficiency, which is hypothyroidism. So think about that. It keeps a balance in the body. And the Lord wants us to be balanced Christians, doesn't he? We've always talked about that through the years, right? I mean, you can get in one ditch about one thing, you can get in another ditch on another thing, but it's kind of like if your car is misaligned, out of alignment, what does it do? It tends to pull to the right or pull to the left, and God forbid we hit any curbs when we were parking. Yep. You know, I'm speaking for myself, of course, which I try to be careful. But if we hit something like a curb, or we came in too close and hit, you know, no damage to the car, but just maybe to the tire itself, we came up hard on something. And then if you're driving down the road, you let go of the wheel and it starts to pull to the right. And you're like, oh, I'm going to have to go get the car aligned. Why? Because it's out of balance. And so, again, God wants us to be balanced believers, right? And that's what salt does. It brings a balance. So it goes on to say here, ensures healthy diet for pregnant mothers. And I thought this was really interesting. It says it brings the appropriate development of the brain and bone structure during pregnancy and the developmental years of young children. So if an expectant or lactating mother is iron deficient, then what can happen is that the children can even suffer from what they now call intellectual disability, which is known as mental retardation. I guess they're not using that word anymore. So for whatever reason, but we get the gist of that. So in the Old Testament, salt would strengthen the newborns in biblical cords. So you see that in Ezekiel 16:4. So in other words, it would probably perhaps cleanse it, maybe helped with, you know, when that cutting took place. And I thought that was really interesting how it talks about that. It provides electrolyte balance for smooth functioning of organs. It prevents a condition, which is, I think it's called hyponatremia, which is a condition which the body suffers from a shortage of salt in the fluids present outside the walls. It sustains the hydration levels of the body. Those who work out on a regular basis knows that you have to recover the salt, right? And the water shortages that occur through perspiration. So salt help brings that in. It prevents heat stroke and combats sunstroke. And I've shared even here this last year how There was a couple times that Pastor Monty got nauseous or lightheaded myself. And the Lord was like, you need to get some salt intake. And so this may not seem really delicious, but actually pickle juice helps with that. You know, if you don't have any Gatorade on hand, but pickle juice helps to bring that hydration of the salt intake back into your body. Helps relieves muscle cramps. So if we have muscle cramps, sometimes we're lacking calcium, but it could be a salt deficiency or we're just low on it. It aids in the treatment of sickness. It determines the blood pressure and the impact on cardio health related to strokes and health or heart attacks, which I didn't know. Low pressure can be managed through the balance of salt. It can treat sore throats. We know that it can provide dental hygiene, you know, for a gargle mix, which is really interesting for canker sores and that type of thing. It helps to manage diabetes and just a few more. It helps with heart failure. And I thought that was really interesting. And when meds are given into the body intravenously, then there's also a saline solution that's applied to that. So we know that salt is used for traction for icy roads and walkways. It helps to protect, right? So we're going to go ahead and look at the Old Testament here and just some different factors that salt was used. And in the Old Testament, the use of salt was used in grain offerings, incenses, and it's what's called the salt covenant. And we're going to take a look at that here in just a moment. And so since the Levitical priests did not have the land of their own, God promised to provide for them via the sacrifices of the people. He did this, and he called it this promise of provision, a salt covenant. And I thought, that is something I know Pastor Monty's heard of it. I personally never heard of the salt covenant before. But
other than reading the Bible.
But you know, that's all people had. If you looked at the Old Testament, the New Testament, that's all people had was to preserve their food was salt. They didn't have refrigeration, right? So there was no refrigeration. So salt was used to preserve as well as bring about taste and keeping the food from rotting. And then it helped to maintain the integrity and the edibility of food. And so what it did is it retarded the spoilage. You think about it. I can't imagine not having a refrigeration system. You know, I mean, you have to get pretty creative with salt. But that's what they had. That's what they did. And then the meat offerings had to be seasoned with salt. So it was a very precious and expensive commodity. In the Near East, which is the countries that contain the Arabian Peninsula, which are Cyprus, Egypt, or I should say cities as well, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestinian territories, Syria, and Turkey. So this expensive commodity was considered indestructible in fire. So it was a very precious and expensive commodity. I would never think of salt being that way, but that's how it's been viewed throughout the years. And so it was included in the offerings and the incense. And we're going to look at Leviticus 2, verse 13 here. And it says, "And every oblation of thy meat offering," which it means it was like a heavy duty part of the meat offering. It says, "Shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings, thou shalt offer salt." So we see that salt had to be included in these offerings. Okay. Preservation. Yes. But also too, God likes to do things the right way. Amen. So then Ezra chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, and this talks about how the type of offerings that were given, okay, the treasures that were brought. And it says, "And I, even I, Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it shall be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine and to 100 baths of oil and salt without prescribing how much. I thought that was interesting. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done, or let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? And so again, salt's valued. It's valued as a treasure. It's valued as an offering. And then ingesting salt in the ancient world was a way to make an agreement legally binding. I thought that was really interesting. So if two parties entered into an agreement, they would eat salt together in the presence of witnesses, and that act would bind their contract. And then let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5. Or you can look there on the screen as well. And this talks about the covenant of salt. And it says, ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt. So it's supposed to last and endure regardless of circumstances. So when God breaks covenant with us, and we've seen that throughout the scriptures, when God does a covenant, and he broke covenant with us, and when Jesus broke covenant with us and did it with his own blood, it's to last forever. God doesn't do it just as a temporary fix. He does it as a forever situation. Amen. It's to last forever. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 7 talks about that forever, verses 11 through 16. And again, you can look at the screen if you like. But it says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he prospered, effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which we're very familiar with this, right? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Now listen to this last part, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So praise God for what he's done for us. Praise God, the covenants that he's made, that we see they're an example to us and for us. Amen. And then we're going to look at the New Testament here. And it's so important to see. And we, again, see our eyes, ourselves through the eyes of faith. We see ourselves through the eyes of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because when we see ourselves this way, then we can go ahead and we can act in that. We can walk that out. And we were talking about this on Sunday morning about the authority that we have as believers. It's so important that we know our authority in Christ. And there's so many precious believers that don't know their authority in Christ. I think I was 21 before I realized that I have authority in the name of Jesus. I was never told that I had the keys to the kingdom, that heaven backed me up. We've talked about this, but always bears repeating, right? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that if we go ahead and we bind, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, then heaven backs us up. Then we have those things mm-hmm. that we desire of the Lord. We have those things. Because Jesus has given us the authority. That's why we put his word in our mouth. Praise God. So looking at Mark 9:50, it says, salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will he season it? So there's no effect. And if you think about this, we being the salt of the earth, we have an effect. We have an influence on people around us. Amen. You can be around a perfect stranger and they can see that something's different about you, and carry yourself that way. Not that we're better than anybody else, but God wants to live big on the inside of us. Let's give people Jesus. Let's give them Jesus. So we want to have an effect. We want to be an influence on this world, because if you think about salt, really in the natural, salt cannot lose its saltiness. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. And he said, well, what do you mean? Well, we'll mention it here, but Jesus is saying that we can lose our saltiness. And then do we even have an effect on others? Yes, we do. When we keep our savor about us. Amen. And so he says, have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. And then we mentioned Matthew 5:13, but let's go back to that again. And Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, I thought this was really interesting because, again, salt doesn't lose its savorness unless it's mixed with other elements or compounds. So salt in its purity, which actually Himalayan salt, the pink salt, that's the purest salt you can have, and that's the best salt you can have. I don't know if you knew that. But in that sense, salt is toxic to microbes. And if you want to say, you know, like when food starts to rot, that type of stuff cannot live in salt. It's microbes hate it. It's toxic to them. So no bugs can live in salt. And I thought that this is amazing. However, if you take salt and you dilute it down with water, what happens to it? It melts in the water. It dissolves in the water, right? It's actually indissolvable and indestructible on its own. But once it's mixed with water, then that's the type of effect that water has on it. And so when Jesus says these things, what we can take away from this for ourselves is that we're not supposed to be diluted with the world. We're not supposed to, you know, but the Bible says, you know, come out from among them and be ye separate. So when we're supposed to come out from the world and be separate, what does that mean? That means we're not supposed to be like the world. The church is always has the most influence on the world when she's least like the world. Well, yes, there can be a building, right? An erected building where we can meet in, but we're the temple of God. We're the church of God, right? We're the bride of Christ. So again, when we carry ourselves in such a way that we're not entering into that joke, or we're not watching that thing, we're not reading up on that thing. Why? We're guarding, we're protecting our savor. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that we carry ourselves in such a way that we do. And I've had to dismiss myself from conversations, you know, when I was in a workplace and had those type of conversations going on, or jokes that were going on, especially whether it's friends or family or whoever it might be, or even neighbors. And it doesn't mean that we're stiff. It just, that means we're different, right? We're a royal priesthood. We're a peculiar nation. We're called forth to show the praises of Him. And it's so important that letting our conversation show forth the praises of Him. We're giving the glory to God. So we don't want to be diluted with the world's influence. We don't want to allow ourselves to have this this downing, you know, this downing down, if you want to say it, of a situation where that, oh, you know, I'm okay. I'm just going to flesh out today. We used to call that in Bible school, fleshing out. What does that mean? I just don't, well, you know, I'm not going to, you know, talk faith today, or I just don't feel good, or I just don't, you know. And my roommate and I, and she was a salty person. She was from Alabama. Tell me what. She was a kick, but she's like, are we going to flesh out today? And I'm like, no, the only way I'd flesh out is if I was to have some pie. I worked at a pie place in a restaurant. We'll flesh out that way. We'll pay for it the next day, but we can flesh out today, you know? But, so we have to be careful about these things, right? We have to be careful about our words. They're containers. They hold, right? The fresh water, they can hold salt water. And it's hard for anything to grow. What's that, honey?
Bitter water, yeah.
Bitter water. And there's hard, it's hard for things to grow in salt water. Are you going to share something?
No.
Add anything? Okay. All right. So, but we see that God is, you know, he's underscoring this endearing promise to always take care of us and preserve his people. And especially when you look at the priestly tribe of Levi, and he labeled it a covenant of salt. And that's in Numbers 18, verse 19. And I'll go ahead and read it here as Pastor Monty goes to that screenshot there. But it says, again, all the heave offerings of the holy things, which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord, unto thee and to thy seed with thee. And again, what God does, he does forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So praise God. He's the God that doesn't change, right? There's no lack in him. There's no failure in him. And when we're in Christ, then there's no failure in us. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that song. I can't see a show of hands, but do you remember E.T.? Remember from 1982? I was a senior in high school, and there was a song, the theme song for that song, for that movie was, it was a very popular movie at the time, but anyway, it was by Neil Diamond, and it was called To Share Your Heart Light. And some of the words from that was, you know, shine your heart light, let it shine wherever you go. Let it be a happy flow happy glow for all those to see. And sorry, I was just thinking about the song just right before we got on, and I thought, oh, it's a beautiful song, beautiful melody. But I thought, you know, there's truth in that. We're supposed to be the light of the world. And when we get around people, we're supposed to make them hungering and thirsting after God, the Father, and to be inquisitive about Jesus. Amen. It's so mm-hmm. important that we carry, again, ourselves that way, and we have that effect on people. So salt symbolizes perpetual, non-corruptible, and as we said before, it's indissolvable. That means it can't be destroyed. Soluble, I should say. And there's a lot of leaven that the Bible, the scripture talks about there. And the leaven symbolizes sin. It symbolizes a rebellious attitude, right? It says that the little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf, and it's yeast. That's basically what it is. So when sin tries to come in, and the Bible says there, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, that we're supposed to lay aside sin and the weights that doth so easily beset us, right? So that sin tries to come in and has a foothold. You know, if you're trying to shut a door and you're playing around maybe with your sibling when you were growing up, or maybe one of your parents or your friend, perhaps, and you put your foot there, what happens? They can't shut the door. Or maybe you're trying to keep a door open, so you'll put your foot there, or you'll put a block there, or a rock, because you want to keep it propped open. But see, sin's always looking for a foothold into our life. And we have to guard and protect, if you want to say, the salt of our heart. We want to guard and protect our heart, because the Bible does say in Proverbs 4:23 that, you know, that we're supposed to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That means there's a flow that God wants us to walk in and to maintain. So we have to protect it from different things. Again, protecting our car, right? We keep it aligned. We keep it maintenanced. We keep the oil in there. We keep the good gasoline in there. And why? So it can run like it's supposed to. It can operate and get us to our destination. And that's God. That's what God wants us to do about our faith, protecting our faith. Mm-hmm. And so you think about salt, it actually impedes. Yes, we're supposed to put salt into dough and different things like that if you're making bread, but it can also help to impede the action of yeast in the food, so that there's a balance. You can put too much yeast in bread and it can just rise and get big and big and big. No, that salt can help to bring that balance. It also represents helps to maintain purity in our life when you see that symbolically here in the world. And again, you know, the world's all about corruption. The heart of man, as it is without the Lord, is about corruption. You see about the control trying to take place. And I've come to the basis of my conclusion that just like Satan, he was about corruption and control. And that's what man, who's a byproduct of Satan, when they don't know the Lord, that they want to control and they want to bring corruption because that's their nature. But our nature is to bring stability and bring truthfulness into this world and to bring purity. And God wants to use you in a greater way, in a greater fashion. And it's so precious to pray before the start of every day. Lord, use me for your glory. Put those people across my path. Help me to have words of life. Help me to plant the seeds of faith in people and to water those seeds. Amen. Because God's not going to impede on our own will. And even though our heart can desire those things, let's express it with our prayer for that day. Let me bring glory to you, Lord. And he does, and he will. Amen. So it's important to realize that, you know, when we're looking at salt comparing to these spiritual things, that, you know, being the salt of the earth means believers have value in this world. You have value. You may not feel like it at times. You may feel unworthy at times, but praise God, we don't go by our feelings. Amen. We go by what the word says, and the word doesn't lie. God's not a man that he should lie. Amen.
Yeah.
And so we have a preserving influence of God's word in this world because we bring the word with us. Amen. We carry the Spirit of God with us. And praise God, we have that type of an influence. So remember, you know, as we're being the salt of this earth, it's remember that we never stop doing these things. And these are just, it's basic, it's elementary, but we never want to forget these things because the devil's trying to get us out of our place. He's trying to get us sidelined in the race so we can fall flat on our face, isn't he? I mean, you see these runners, the next thing you know, they're on the ground and they're on their face. And I fell here a couple months ago on some black ice outside. I mean, it didn't even look icy. And I mean, I barely caught myself. My hands were right here and my face was like this, right close to the deck. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I didn't smash my face in the deck. But it happened so fast that when I slipped and fell, that's the way I fell, but my hands were there to brace me. And so, but that's how the devil, that's what he wants to get us to do. He wants to trip us up. And we gotta guard and protect, be aware, watch and pray. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, right? Your adversary, the devil, my adversary, the devil, his adversary, the devil is walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, guess what? We say, not today, devil. And the Bible goes on to say there in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, maybe verse 9, it says that we're supposed to remain steadfast in the faith. Resist steadfast in the faith. Mm-hmm. So we don't do it in our own strength. We do it in the Lord's strength. Do everything in the Lord's strength. Mm-hmm. So we never want to stop reading scripture. We never want to stop praying. And we never want to live so close to the world that no one can tell that if we're a disciple of Jesus or not. Amen. That's the most important thing. So sometimes it's good to say no to different things, right? Mm-hmm. We never want to lack integrity in our Christ-like character. We never want to stop talking about Jesus. Boy, if the devil can shut us up and, you know, get us to shut up and get us so focused in on ourselves, it doesn't mean we don't take care of ourselves. We have to, we need to. But sometimes it's our problems that he wants us to be just stir crazy about that we can never think about. We don't have time or we don't have the energy to think about someone else. But praise God, I love the scripture where it says that the captivity of Job was turned when he prayed for his friends. You know, he's being tested and tried. He didn't even know who was doing it. He didn't know the devil was doing it. But praise God, he didn't curse God like his wife told him to. He's getting some bad influence. He's getting some bad counsel, but he stayed through and true, and he ended up double for his trouble. And and praise God, we can end up double for our trouble. Amen. The devil has to pay back.
Yes.
So the devil wants us to think only about our own needs. No, we think about the needs of others, because the Bible says, pray for one another that you may be healed. So there's different ways to be healed. And that's one of the ways. And we always want, we never want to let, remember when John the Baptist saw his cousin Jesus, he said, he must increase, I must decrease. It's all about us crucifying the flesh, mortifying the deeds of the body, right? The deeds of the flesh, crucifying our flesh, doing all these things, and then God's the glory and the lift of our head. Hallelujah. We don't have to lift ourselves up. He can do it all by himself, and he does a great job at it. Praise God. So I just want to leave a couple different thoughts. I know we're ending probably maybe a little bit earlier this evening, unless you've got some things to share, honey, and or somebody has some things they'd like to share here at the end. But Jesus wants us to be, again, the salt of this earth, right? He wants to sprinkle us like salt into this world to prevent the erosion of the kingdom values, to prevent the decay of society. We're seeing that happen, aren't we? So as we pray, as we make a stand for righteousness, as we, yes, we do our part to vote, but we can do more on our knees too. If we can't go to these different places and we want to vote at every opportunity, especially with these elections coming up. And, but he wants us, what we can do is we represent him, that we can fight against the tide of inhumanity and oppression. Remember, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We can be his hands, we're his feet. And that's in Acts 10:38. We could be his hands and his feet and being about our Father's business and being kingdom minded and his mouth. Amen. And setting our affection that are on the things that are above. And so when Jesus told his disciples, you are the salt of the earth, you know, that means that we have a preserving, in which we are, we're his disciples. So we have a preserving influence on others. Mm-hmm. And if you want to say it this way, we can help prevent spiritual putrefaction, right? And the moral decay of the society. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're here to preserve. We're here to help keep righteousness here on this earth. We're here to tell others about Jesus and to help lead people to the Lord, right? Plant the seeds, water the seeds, so people can come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the good news that we carry with us for life.
Amen.
For his life. And I want to look at the word here, preserve, just momentarily. It's so good, because that's what salt does. It preserves. So we're the we're the preservation of the Lord, but we're also here to preserve his word, his truth, his integrity. And it says here that the word preserve means to keep or save from injury or destruction, to defend from evil. So the Lord says here in Psalm 140, O Lord, preserve me from the violent man, It's to uphold, it's to sustain. It says in Psalm 36, it says, and David's talking here, O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Praise God. That's what he does. It's to save from decay. It's to keep in a sound state. We've looked at the natural qualities of salt. Of course, we see that. It preserves fruit in the winter. Salt is used to preserve meat, as we well know. And to season with sugar or other substances for preservation, as to preserve with plums or other types of fruit. You see that, right? Mm-hmm. If you're doing any type of canning. It's to keep or defend from corruption. So praise God for that. Deuteronomy 6:24 says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord, our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. That's what he's promised to do. So praise the Lord for that. What does the Bible mean by preserve when David used it in the Psalms? Well, at the beginning of the Psalm, David calls on God to preserve him against the violent man. We saw that in Psalm 140. The word that David uses for preserve here is different. It means to protect from what is concealed, hidden, or secret. So God is telling us, I've got you covered. I've got every area of your life covered, even things you can't see.
Amen. That's good.
Glory to God. Amen. So things that you can't see, he's Thank got you covered.
Glory to God.
He's got you covered. Amen. Say, yeah. He's got me covered.
He's got me covered.
Every day.
Every day.
Every moment of every day.
Every amen? Moment.
So I'm going to look, honey, I don't know. Do you have screenshots of these, or I can just read these off? So there's a number of them, but if you were to do a word study on the word preserve, there's some beautiful scriptures here. You don't have to look them all up. You can write these down if you like or whatever you want to do. So it says here in Psalm 16, verse 1, it says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 25:21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So preservation comes to our life and works in our life because we manifest integrity, purity, and uprightness. And Amen. That is preserving factors in our life because yep. that's God's way of doing things.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 32:7 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Amen. Psalm 40:11 says, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Amen.
Truth preserves.
Yes, it does. Psalm 41:2 says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Mm-hmm. Amen. Glory to God for that. Just skipping down here, Psalm 86:2 says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Psalm 121:7 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul.
Yeah.
Psalm 121, the next verse, verse 8 says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So praise yeah. God. What a wonderful prayer to pray over ourselves, our family members, traveling, our children. The Lord's preserving mm-hmm. our coming in and our going out. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And let's see here. Let me look at one more here. Over here. It says Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Amen. Mm. And then I like this. I appreciate this. When 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, and it says, you know, and just to kind of give a little bit of background here, when Alexander the coppersmith did Paul much harm and everyone had abandoned him, he said the following. He said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory to Amen. God. That's what he's promised to do for all of us.
Yeah, and I like that, what the Lord said there in Luke 17:33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it.
That's right.
Shall preserve it. In another gospel, he says, for my sake. He says, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, so shall preserve it. Mm-hmm. So doing it God's way always pays. But I really like that what David, that you brought out there about the Lord protecting us from what is concealed, hidden, or in secret. Because we navigate this world, we have a lot of things going on that we don't know about, but the Lord is able to preserve us and protect us from the things that are secret, that are hidden,
That's right.
That are concealed, that we don't know about.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes, thank
and
you, Lord.
He can bring illumination to those things and bring those things to our attention
yes.
by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, and give us protection. give us a way out. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
The Lord, you know, is so good. And salt, you know, I was thinking about something when you were sharing, honey, about how if you like chocolate chip cookies, which I do with an ice cold glass of milk, I've had chocolate chip cookies when they didn't have a pinch of salt put in them. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, but I found this out. If you don't put a pinch of salt, as the recipe recommends,
I think it's more than a pinch.
It doesn't, well, what, just a small, scant amount.
Yeah.
Depending upon how big a batch you make.
Right.
But it doesn't taste right. Salt has a unique ability to be able to do something in the composition mm-hmm. of that cookie dough.
It, well, brings out the flavors.
It does.
Especially and, chocolate.
And one thing, too, you know, I was thinking about this.
Salt and caramel.
When you, if you ever put a piece of meat, have a piece of steak, mm-hmm. if you season it, and again, some of you might know this, but if you like steak and you ever cook a steak or any other type of piece of meat, but let's say you're going to put one out on the grill. Yeah. If you put kosher salt on it mm-hmm. to let it marinate, mm-hmm. just salt, even if you didn't have any other seasoning, that's it right. will extract a flavor that is just amazing. Yes. And one thing that I learned several years ago that if you have, let's say, a 1-inch thick piece of meat, what you do, and you don't use table salt, but you use coarse kosher salt.
This is a cooking class, too.
No, it's not really, but it's just really interesting because salt is
it's
so amazing.
It is.
But if you put that kosher salt and on both sides of the meat, and you do it at 1 inch for an hour, mm-hmm. okay?
So what do you mean by that?
Okay, exactly. So you put the salt on it, both mm-hmm. sides, and then let it set for an hour. If it's 1 inch thick, if it's a 1/2 inch thick, you do it for 30 minutes.
Okay.
And, or if the piece of meat is 1.5 inches, you do it for 1.5 hours. Then you rinse the salt off, okay, under water, and you cook it. It's just amazing.
It is.
Because it does something to that meat.
I don't, I don't know if you even have to wash it off.
You do if you put a lot on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's because it can get, remember, it's
they can get
just salty. The right amount.
Right.
Because too much is too much.
And too much
I think
is too
we all
much.
Know it.
Yes.
But anyway, you might try that. But it's just very interesting about yes. these things about the, and when the Lord said,
thank you,
you're
Lord.
The salt of the earth.
Yes.
So we're the one that is to preserve the holiness of God, mm-hmm. the fear of God, mm-hmm. the light of God.
Amen.
In this world.
Yes.
So the Lord's counting on all of us.
Yes, he is.
And I think about one last scripture here, and we'll close off with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, and notice, this isn't in your notes, I don't think, because this came to me.
I don't think so.
But it says here that we know verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And let's read on here. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry. So we all have a ministry, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world, verse 19, unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, mm-hmm. and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, yes. verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. In other words, in the absence of Christ, but in the presence of Christ in my life. Mm-hmm. So in Christ, in him not being here, I'm here yes. as his representative, as Amen. His ambassador.
Yes, yes.
And he said, be ye reconciled to God.
Yes.
So that's telling the good news.
Amen. Praise God. Glory to God.
And
thank you, Lord.
It is that way because we have the power of preservation.
Yes.
Because of God preserves his saints.
Yes.
And
yes.
with that preservation, we have a light and a story to tell to other people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. That was good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. All righty. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, Father God, for those simple but yet profound characteristics of salt and what the Master said, ye are the salt of the world. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you for a fresh stirring inside of each and every one of us to be able to be that to the people we come in contact with. And Father, we thank you for your hand upon our life for good, for the edification that our life submitted to you will bring to the world all around us.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you for making us a blessing, Lord God, to those around us. And Father God, we thank you for that fresh stirring in our heart to realize the importance of our life surrendered to you to be a witness for your glory.
Yes, Lord.
To win people into your kingdom in these last days. We thank you for that and praise you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.